When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's got it! He's got it!
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. We're on the other side now. 8-8. Thursday, August 8th, 2024. Keith McPherson on The Fan for another 2 hours. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. And yeah, I just heard that drop about, you know, fighting in practice. And I'm sure you guys heard that after we talked all about how cool it was to see Malik Nabers fighting. And, oh, they're fighting in the practices with the Giants and the Lions. Well, the NFL said, hey, you got to pay for that. You got to pay me for that. So, the NFL confirmed today that the Detroit Lions and New York Giants organizations have each been fined $200,000 for multiple fights that broke out at their joint practices. They're trying to send a message to other teams that are doing joint practices that, hey, like, this isn't what we want our league to look like. We don't want our league to look like you guys are a bunch of MMA fighters. You guys are a bunch of assaulters. It made me think, back when I was a young whippersnapper coming up, I got into a couple scraps. And I remember sitting in front of the prosecutor with my roommate, who I got into a full-fledged brawl with. And he said, you know what, guys? Some people get paid to fight, you know, UFC, MMA. Well, you guys are going to pay me for fighting. And then he slapped us with a $2,000 fine each. And I was broke. I was like, oh, nah. How am I going to pay my rent? And I swear I wanted to fight my roommate when we got back to the spot. Like, we were close. I remember I had to go to work. He had to go to work. He worked at like a car dealership. I was working at a Guitar Center. And this dude shaved in the bathroom and shaved like everywhere in the sink, in the tub. And I needed to go in there and shower after him. I was like, bro, we're going to end up right back in the courthouse if you don't clean this up. And he didn't want to go back to the courthouse, so he actually cleaned it up. And I was like, all right, we're good. 888-808-1019. Yeah, tales from back in the day. Monmouth County, Jersey Shore. It's not what you think it is. It's not Pauly D. It's not Snooki. They're not even from over there. They weren't even allowed to go in some of the places that we went. They were banned from Bar A. They were banned from Headliner. You feel me? Or maybe you don't know. I'm Jersey Cat. I know. I drove upstate this weekend. I was like, man, you can drive up into New York forever. I'm like, I've never been up here. Same thing with like Long Island. I remember when I got towed and they towed my whip to like Great Neck. I'm like, yo, this is so far. I don't want to ever end up over there. But anyway, so far, so good with this second half, with this time after the trade deadline for the Mets and the Yankees, they're both in the hunt. Obviously, the target for the Yankees is to win the division and have the best record in baseball, and that's right in reach. The target for the Mets isn't so much the division. It's to win games, stay in the hunt, and when the math finishes mathing, to be one of the last three teams standing in that wild card hunt. But man, it is getting thick. It is getting tight. And that's why tonight, Mets fans got to celebrate the win that you were able to get in the ninth inning. Because when you look at that National League wild card and where you are, obviously you just handled business against St. Louis, and now you own the tiebreaker against them. They're two games back. But creeping up, the San Francisco Giants, 3.5 games back. Maybe that's why they didn't sell off everybody. And even the Pittsburgh Pirates, they battle tonight against the Padres. They're 4 games back. And there's no reason to really go through the rest of the teams. But anything can happen. There's still plenty of games left. I tip my cap to Francisco Lindor, Francisco Alvarez. Those guys, that's TWTW. They willed their way to victory. I dubbed them the Make It Happen Mets in 2022 because of situations like that. Losers let it happen. Winners make it happen. They can make their own luck. and steal a game, take a game like that, and you can't lose a game. Again, you can't lose a game where the starting pitcher, who wasn't very good anyway, the starting pitcher leaves after the first inning and it turns into a bullpen game. And then it's just a tight game the whole game. I don't know what these guys need to do. They got to wake up. They got to snap out of it. I don't know what has happened to this vaunted Mets lineup. Maybe they need to shake the lineup up. But, I mean, you look through the lineup, and just when people were down on Jesse Winker, give him some time. Jesse Winker had three hits and a ribby tonight. I'm still waiting. I was in here watching Pete Alonso work a walk. Still waiting for Pete Alonso to have the power to come through with the you know, game-winning homer. It's just not there yet. Right after that, you know, Jeff McNeil made the last out. He was obviously frustrated. Happy Jeff goes 0-for-4 tonight. But Francisco Alvarez, good to see him come through with two knocks. He's been struggling a little bit. Former Yankee Ben Gamel out there contributing. Tyrone Taylor, like, they got to break out of it tomorrow, hopefully. Or today now, it's a new day. They got to break out of it today, win that series. And same for the Yankees. The Yankees can't lose to the Anaheim Angels. And now that you're looking at, you know, our options with pitching, I don't know. Will Warren, he's not an option to help you this year. He's just, you can't, he's going to obviously make some spot starts like he has, but Nestor Cortez will pitch tomorrow. Stroman is working on his mechanics. He's going to slide back to Sunday, and they just got a hit. But you're going to see teams walking Aaron Judge. Soto is allowed to slump a little bit, but the rest of the guys got to come through. And it's starting to look like, okay, now that DJ is hitting, Glaber is hitting, other guys are performing and not performing under where they're expected, it seems like the Yankees have more than enough guys with Stanton back, with Wells emerging, with Volpe being Volpe in the lower part of the lineup. Guys like Oswaldo Cabrera coming through, Verdugo breaking out of his slump. 888-808-1019. Let's take some more calls on the Yanks. Tom is in Islip. What's up, Tom? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, McFarland? Listen, as I explained to you guys before, first of all, I wanna let you know what type of Yankee fan you're talking to.
You?
As a young man, I grew up on Sheridan Avenue and 161st Street, three blocks away from Yankee Stadium. My uncle used to take me up on the 4 train platform, and in the old stadium, you could see the whole outfield.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I would watch the game.
What years? What decade?
I just wanted to get that off real quick.
What decade?
That was like I was 11 years old, so that was 1961. I mean, 71, my bad.
Okay.
But anyway, my point is, and what I really want to talk about, and I'm shocked none of your other Yankee callers are talking about it, is where did this pitcher come from in the second game today? I was on my way. I'm a veteran. I work for the VA in Northport, Long Island. I take an hour and a half bus because I want to say hello to my PTS brothers in my PTSD program at Northport. That's the unit I work in. Anyway, so I can't drive no more because I got PTSD. So I take an hour and a half bus ride and a 10-minute train ride. As I'm doing it, I listen to you guys on my phone all day long, whether there's a game or not. And my phone was dying. It died right after the second game.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no problem. I got a train with a charger plug on it. And I left my charger home.
Sorry about that. Hopefully you find a charger.
What's he calling from is my question.
His friend's phone?
So he sat on hold on his friend's phone for however long he was sitting on hold?
Why are you laughing, bro? He was just really opening up to us and telling us about his life and his story. Why are you laughing?
Don't make me the bad guy in this. I didn't screen that call.
Yeah, what did I just say to you off air? Like, did you screen that call? Nick screened that call and he dipped out. Yo, where did Will Warren come from? He's the Yankees' number 7th ranked prospect. He pitched last week in Philadelphia, made his rookie debut. He just made his Yankee Stadium debut, and he's young. Like, I mean, he's 25, but like he's breaking into the league. He's facing major league pitching. That's why when you call and say something about Spencer Jones or Oswald Peraza or these guys coming up, it's like AAA is not the show. And they obviously brought him up and gave him an opportunity in the second game because of the situation with Stroman and obviously the rain out yesterday. That changes the lineup, but it's fine. It's fine. You're going to lose games. And the Yankees lost that game in the second inning, and they didn't recover. But they had already had one win in their pocket from, you know, 3-4 hours prior. It is what it is. 888-808-1019. Nobody was talking. I think we've already mentioned Will Warren. I just where did he come from? He came from Scranton. They already sent him back down. He was the 27th man. They sent him right back down. Happy anniversary to Aaron Boone. Yesterday was a year since one of his greatest ejections of all time. The one that he actually said he's not that proud of because his kids were kind of like, bro, what are you doing? I thought it was hilarious when he mocked Laz Diaz and he came out of the dugout and he did Laz Diaz's strikeout call. I'm like, oh, Boone is on one. That's classic. That's never going away. That turned into a GIF. That turned into memes. That's still like, Yes Network posted it or Fox Sports posted it. Not Yes Network. Yes Network wouldn't post it. Fireside Yankees posted it. It was all over the feed earlier today, so I had to clip that. I had to shout out, you know, Aaron Boone. Happy anniversary for your Laz Diaz impression. Let's go to Huntington and talk to John on the Fan. What's up, John? You got it.
What's up, buddy? Yeah, Laz Diaz is definitely the second worst umpire in majors next to.
Yeah, they got to get him out. They got to find a way to get him out. He always has to make it about himself and be seen.
Unbelievable. But it's funny, like if you watch DJ, like, you know, go back like 2-3 weeks ago, I feel like he might be on steroids right now. I like, he looks like a completely different guy. He looks like he can stand up, he's got legs, he can move.
The All-Star break, something happens to this guy in the second half of the season and he needs time to get going. And yeah, like I said, now that DJ's hitting, it makes you feel like you have more than enough guys. Like, you don't need another bat at the trade deadline. I don't know.
And Wells has been, since the All-Star break, he's been the best hitting catcher in baseball.
Yeah, which is crazy. Sure. I just was saying, he was the best. He was the July catcher of the month, made the All-MLB team quietly, but not that quietly, we've seen.
And one other thing, like, didn't Jeter anoint Chisholm at one point, like, as, like, you know, the next great thing or something to that effect?
I don't know. He probably did when he was owning the team. There was a lot of people that hyped Jazz Chisholm up 2 years ago when he was on the cover of the show, and he wore number 2 like Jeter, and they did this whole, like, you know, throwback to, like, Jeter. You could use Jeter in the game. And
yes.
I don't know.
Okay. And you brought up the Giants. I mean, have you seen Blake Snell's statistics the last like 5 or 6 starts?
Yeah, he's looking like the guy that everybody was talking about, Cy Young winner,
world.
A guy that you know, you pay that much money. But he said, right, because I mean he's a dog. He's like that. Like, he's one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball.
You don't win 2 Cy Youngs by accident.
Exactly. But people want to nitpick him not going late in the games. He throws the no-hitter. He tells everybody, get off me. Now what can you say about me? I just did that. But he talked about how he, you know, him missing spring training, it screwed him up. But now, here we are in August, he's in mid-season form.
But, yeah, and that might, if they could sneak themselves into, a playoff spot, he could, you know, win you a series by himself.
Yeah, and we thought they were going to trade him. We thought that there was a chance the Mets or the Yankees could get him.
Yep. I was just going to ask you about that. I didn't know if he was on the block or not. I didn't remember hearing much, but like the fact that he's just been like, I mean, the guy's got like 6 starts this year where he's let up 1 hit.
they're 3.5 games out of a wild card spot, and they probably thought about that and they're like, nah, what are we giving this guy up for? Like, they put this team together to challenge. Now, they did sell off Jorge Soler, but whatever.
And one other thing, am I crazy to think about putting Judge Lead off?
No, it's not crazy. And Boone talked about flipping Judge and Soto today. I think we're gonna get to the point really soon because it's getting so corny.
You know, Otani hits one with the Dodgers, and it doesn't seem to he's got an all world.
Yeah, it's just getting super corny. They're walking Judge with nobody on base, and like I said, it's a copycat league. Everybody's gonna do it now, especially as we're playing these scrub teams that are out of it. They're just, we'll walk them. Instead of being embarrassed by them, walk them.
And it sucks for the fans. It sucks for the, because you go to watch guys like that. And you don't want to see them put up four fingers and, that's it.
Yeah, I've probably seen 50 home runs that Judge's hit live. And, even the one he hit to the warning track today, everyone was like, oh! Like, the people specifically go there hoping for a Judge homer. Thanks for the call, John. I remember I was... What series was it? I was sitting in Yankee Stadium, and the girl in front of me was like, I've never seen a Judge homer. And I'm like, well, pay close attention. And then he homered, and I'm like, you seen one now? It was like, I'm like, watch his at-bats. Like, this guy is different, bro. And they know that, and they're going to walk him. They're just going to walk him. So how do you fix that? That's been the conversation now for this whole week. What do you do with the lineup? I think this, right? As much as we're looking for a consistent lineup, what's consistent in the lineup now is Soto second, Judge third, Austin Wells fourth. And they're going to keep that. They're going to keep that because now you want to walk him. Wells is up for the challenge. He's responded. I don't know. It's not crazy to think about Judge leading off. It's not crazy to think about Judge hitting second. That's where he hit before Soto got here. But I don't know. I don't know if the teams that... Like, when we face the Guardians coming up or we face the Orioles, like, are they going to do that? I think it's these scrub teams. That they're not playing for anything. They got nothing to lose. They're just like, yeah, walk them. Instead of embarrassing our starter or our bullpen. 888-808-1019. It's just, like I said, it's getting super corny. And I know he's got to be tired of it. It's like...
Another factor is that how many times did Glaber come up in the second game with runners on where it's like, okay, if that was... Soto leading off or Judge leading off, you can't pitch around that, meaning that would be a big spot in the game. I thought the Yankees had a couple opportunities to bounce back into the game. Instead of Judge or Soto batting first, you have now...
I don't know why Glaber's leading off ever now. In the beginning of the year, he was leading off, right? That was their answer when DJ got hurt. And then they demoted him from that because he had a terrible start. They put Volpe there. Then... He was starting to hit from, I forget what date it was, where they were flashing the stat that he was hitting like 320. And now that he's back at the leadoff spot, I'm just like, why?
Well, it's just the second game because Wells was out for the second game, so they put Verdugo down to...
I know it was the second game, but also the last game of the prior series, he led off because Verdugo...
They gave Verdugo rest,
so I don't know. He's not a leadoff hitter. I don't know. They're trying to figure out some things. They're still tweaking some things. I want to get to a consistent lineup just because I feel like consistency is key. Like, you have all the guys. These are your guys. The only other guys that are coming through are maybe Dominguez. Maybe. And I don't even think they're... Like, as much as we talk about Dominguez, I don't think Dominguez is really that much a part of their plans. Because where's he going to go?
About that Judge home run that went to the track. I promise you, a gust of wind came just as that was, because that went way up in the air.
The crowd reacted like it was going out.
I'm telling you, sitting there, I'm not one of those people. You and I have been to games together where whole crowd jumps.
Yeah,
and
I can judge the ball pretty well at the game.
Yeah, this one was different. This one was like, oh, that might happen. Even the outfielder ran all the way to the wall and then came in a step to grab it. Like, that one was way up there, and I feel like it just... A little bit of wind pushed it back.
And it's even more that you're like hopeful for it because he's not getting as many at-bats. Like I said that about this Bobby Witt Jr. stuff. I got to get Ben Verlander. I'm going to text Ben. And next time I have an open show, I'm going to bring Ben Verlander back on the Fan. Because Ben Verlander, I don't know what it is with, bro. I guess he's a Judge hater, but he'll tell you he's not a Judge hater. He was pushing Ohtani so heavy. And I mean, pushing Ohtani. I've never met a more of an Ohtani fan than Ben Verlander. He's more of an Ohtani fan than he is of his own brother. But, like, now he's really pushing this... Chill, Now he's really pushing this Bobby Witt Jr. agenda. And I know Bobby Witt Jr. is like that. He's balling. But he put out August 6th, who's the AL MVP? It's more of a battle than one might think. Bobby Witt Jr. has a 1250 OPS in the second half and is hitting 430 in the last month. Aaron Judge is doing Aaron Judge things and is on pace to hit 60 homers. But who do you think should win? And then obviously today, if you saw what Bobby Witt Jr. did today, he had two homers. And Bobby Witt Jr. is nice. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody that like from his rookie season, we knew Bobby Witt Jr. was coming. He's a five-tool player. He's like that. That's why they gave him that extension. Pat Mahomes probably was like, yeah, I got the money. Pay this guy. So he hits another home run, and Bobby Witt Jr. is in the tweet that Ben Verlander puts out. Bobby Witt Jr., the AL MVP race is undoubtedly tightening up. Is it Judge's to lose? Absolutely. But let's not act like Bobby Witt Jr. isn't making this a race. He's not. That's his 21st homer of the season. He has 81 RBI. It's just right now, you're not seeing as much of the Judge highlights. And someone called me the other day, Keith, do you think Judge is going to hit 60, 65? I'm like, no, they're not going to. I'm like, he might get to 50. The rest of the way, there's not that much season left. The rest of the way, these bum teams, these scrub teams that we're playing, like the Chicago White Sox just lost 20 games in a row. We got them coming up. They have zero reason to let Aaron Judge beat them. Zero reason to pitch to Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. Judge should win the MVP. As soon as Ohtani got out of the American League and went to the Dodgers, I'm like, good, that's Judge's trophy. Judge's the only one that broke up Ohtani's trophies. But now they're trying to say Bobby Witt Jr. No, he plays for the Kansas City Royals. What are the Royals going to be? Are the Royals going to win their division? No. Are the Royals going to be a wild card team? Perhaps. But like, to be an MVP or to beat out Judge for the MVP, you got to be cheating like Jose Altuve. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Manny calling signal. Takes the snap. Looks left. Pops it left. First is wide open. Touchdown, Giants! And a left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, we're back. Keith McFarlane on the Fan. 888-808-1019. I think bro called me McFarlane. I just let it ride. Like, whatever, bro. He had a lot to add. Maybe you missed that call. Go back and rewind in the free Odyssey app to a little bit after 12 o'clock. I think it was the first call I took once we got on this other side. Now, a couple things here. Mets and Yankees, talking about pitching, right? We are too deep into the season to start really tweaking and changing things. Like, there's a lot of conversation about Luis Severino going into the bullpen. I don't see it happening. I don't think you have enough starters. He's been too good of a starter for the New York Yankees to say, okay, you're going to be a bullpen guy to save your arm. No, you're going the rest of the year, buddy. You're going the rest of the year. Maybe you skip a start. Like right now, Marcus Stroman is skipping a start to throw an extra bullpen so they can get him right for Sunday. Nestor Cortez will be on the mound. Nestor Cortez in Yankee Stadium has fared better. I feel confident with Nestor Cortez on the mound against Tyler Anderson, Mr. Anderson. 7:05 Yankee Stadium rubber match. The 50-64 Angels. I just saw, too, the Mets just won their 60th game. It's kind of crazy. Like, baseball is just so different than the other sports because you play every day. You get so mad about one game. We have these crazy takes and thoughts about one game or series. Like, for the Yankees to only have 8 more wins than the Mets with the way that the season started, like, it's a crazy sport. It's a crazy season. You can't call it. You don't know. But, you know, I'm hearing conversation about Luis Severino and Jose Buto. And Jose Buto has been solid as a member of this Mets bullpen. So solid, it's like, man, good to have a guy like that, that was a starter, got converted, and can give you multiple innings, can come in with runners on base and not be phased. I'm trying to go back to my notes. There was a night a few weeks ago where Severino pitched and Buto came in, and Severino was asked about Jose Buto coming out of the bullpen, and he's like, he's amazing. I don't know how he does it. And that was Severino leaning on his own experience. It's hard to do when you're used to starting the game to just switch and come out of the bullpen. Yankee fans know when Severino was hurt and came back a few years ago, that was his role coming out of the bullpen. You can't do that to Seve now. If you got to skip a start, sure. If he's got to throw a bullpen to get his mechanics right, sure. They got to work with him. But I don't think that you want to put him in the bullpen and demote him. He got his confidence back, his swagger back. He grew a little bit of a beard. He grew his hair out of the back of his hat a little bit. He's feeling himself, right? At one point in time, he was looked at as the ace of the Mets. I don't think it would be wise to try and turn him into a bullpen arm and quit on him in favor of moving Jose Buto back to a starting role when he's been so solid out of the pen. 888-808-1019. I don't think they're going to do that at all. I know it's been floated, but like, you don't mess up a good thing to try and fix another thing that, like, you fix that other thing by fixing it. You don't move Jose Buto into the rotation when he's been so solid for this bullpen that had been so shaky, right? The old Mets bullpen blows this game to the Colorado Rockies. They're not able to hold, right? And, I mean, Paul Blackburn, this guy has got to be loving life, getting out of Oakland. And he said he's never been in a pennant chase. He's excited to be here. He's been solid, more than solid. And not for nothing, when you have Severino right now struggling, it's great to have a Paul Blackburn. And as we're talking about, you know, Blake Snell and Jack Flaherty, and even some people actually thought that the Tigers were going to trade Tarik Skubal to the Mets. No, they didn't go get you a frontline starter, but they got you another starter. I wish the Yankees got another starter. I really do. I wish the Yankees got another starter. The likes of a Paul Blackburn would be much needed right now. You're using Will Warren. He's getting rocked. Marcus Stroman hasn't been great his last couple outings. You got to keep your fingers crossed for every Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon start. And I don't know. We'll see what Gerrit Cole is. I'm a little worried about the Yankees pitching. It's funny how it goes, right? In the beginning of the year, the pitching was so solid. We were bragging about how solid they were without Gerrit Cole, how, you know, many of us thought they were doomed. Oh, you got to go sign Jordan Montgomery. You got to sign Blake Snell with Gerrit Cole going down. And they were all great. They were all pitching into the fourth, fifth inning consistently. Clark goes down. They got to get Clark back. That's the answer. Clark's got to come back, and he's got to not miss a beat. But for the Mets, I think you're all right with Severino. Just, he's got to figure it out. Do not move him to the bullpen. What you're getting out of Sean Manaea, Jose Quintana. Let's see what David Peterson does. David Peterson's quote that really stood with me, and the Mets have had some good quotes, right? David Peterson's quote about not wanting to be the guy that brings this team down. Nobody wants to be the guy to bring this team down. Like, I expect him to go out there and have a good start at 3:10 p.m. against Austin Gomber to take that series and hit the road. Harrison Bader had a quote two nights ago where he said, nobody cares. The game doesn't care. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if you're hurt. Nobody cares. Like, go out there and play the game, win the game. Nobody cares. Nobody feeling sorry for you. Nobody cares how you started off in the beginning of the season. Nobody cares. That's a good mentality to have. Stop making excuses. Make it happen. 888-808-1019. Joe is all the way out in Santa Barbara, California on the Fan in New York.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was just wanted to talk about the Mets a little bit. I mean, and maybe I was going to want your take on it, but I think that, you know, they've not gone into a little bit of a tailspin, but they're playing 500 baseball, really, since Senga had that one-and-done start. And I think that, they were, like, playing until Senga got back and using Senga as a nice boost. But now that Senga went down, I think it's taken too much out of them. What do you think?
I will say that, like, that day, like, the hype with him coming back in that series against the Braves and then him, you know, exiting grand opening, grand closing, that takes the air out of the the building, but I don't think it takes the air out of the team. He hasn't been here all season. They've been winning without him. So, to, I don't know, to think that guys were relying on him to come back and they're like, you know, now they're starting to sag off or not play as well because they're like, oh, man, we don't have our quote-unquote ace. He hasn't been here most of the year. I don't think those guys are looking at it like that. Sure, that you know, they want the guy to be healthy and be there, but I just think it's August. They're hitting a little bit of a slump.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get the slump, but, you know, I think it's like they also might be putting too much pressure on themselves because you have to remember, like, they had to climb out of something really deep where it's like the Padres and the Diamondbacks were, you know, they did have a losing record at one point, but it wasn't as bad as the Mets.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. I'll say this about the Mets. The pace that they were playing at in June, the way that they were hitting, you knew that wasn't sustainable. It's baseball. That's what they had to do to climb out of the hole that they were in. I've been saying this a lot. They're a little bit better than a 500 team. They're a 500 team. They're going to split series. They're going to lose series. Right now, they're actually a remarkable six games over 500. Where I said, when I saw they're 60-54, I'm like, yo, that's crazy to think about where we were just two, 3 months ago. They've gotten to 60 wins. I still stand by what I said in the beginning of the year. I think this is an 82-85 win team in that range. And if they win a little bit more than that, they're a wild card team. But you can't expect them to be elite. You can't expect them to be a juggernaut. They're not. They're not. Their rotation's not that. The lineup played way above expectations. You have guys that are young, like Vientos and Alvarez, that have performed better than you'd expect from young guys. You have guys like Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor, Jose Iglesias, who are playing for their careers and proving that they belong. You have guys like Jesse Winker involved now. Guys like Brandon Nimmo and Lindor, who are playing like all-stars. Okay, you know, Lindor comes through tonight, but he was struggling as of late. Nimmo's got to pick it up, get back going, but he will. Alonso, we're still waiting on Pete Alonso to carry at some point. We're waiting for Pete Alonso to have his game. Jeff McNeil got going, but 0-4 tonight. There's just so many different moving parts in this lineup and guys that are contributing and playing well, but you just can't expect them to have nights where they score double-digit runs. They had a double-digit hit night tonight that had 11 hits, and they were able late to tack on three runs to win it, but I don't think it's based in losing a Kodai Senga. This is Kodai Senga's second year on the team. English is a second language. How close could he possibly be to all the guys in the clubhouse where it's like, oh, man, Kodai's down. I'm sure they love the guy. He's around. They feel sorry that he's hurt. But it's not like they lost Lindor. It's not like they lost, like, they lost Francisco Alvarez and were able to somewhat stay afloat and navigate that injury. I just can't look at the team and say that's the cause of them not sweeping teams, winning series, not playing better than 500 baseball. It's not Kodai Senga's injury. I will say that they probably thought he would come back and be a boost, but whatever. You lose him, you lose Christian Scott, but then you get an elevated performance out of Sean Manaea, and you get a Paul Blackburn coming in via trade who's been excellent. I also think this. The trade deadline is over. The All-Star break is over. Now we're in the dog days of August. It's been a week into August. Now it's August 8th. It's a long season. It's a marathon. It's every day. They're on a road trip. It's not going to be easy. Again, I'll say this before we take the next call. You're going to get everyone's best shot. These teams that are out of it, like the Angels, like the Rockies, they have nothing to lose. All the pressure is on the Mets because the Mets are playing for a wild card spot. In a year where a lot of their fans thought they were punting, in a year where a lot of people around baseball said, postseason, they're not a playoff team. These guys are going out there and they're pressing a little bit because they know this is it. This is it. And there are a bunch of teams around them that are fighting the same way. They don't necessarily control their own destiny. 888-808-1019. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Everything good? You moved already, right? Everything went well?
I moved. We got through that. Everything is going well. There's some big things coming up in these next couple weeks. I'm just trying to take care of my baby, get as much sleep as I can, eat right, hit the gym, come in here and rock my shows and do what I got to do. Thanks for asking.
And sooner than later, when you become pretty famous, you're going to get your house. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, when I become famous, I better be able to buy a house.
Yeah, listen, I got a couple of things. First of all, I agree with you. Severino, Luis Severino, I mean, this guy Tommy Lugia is in WFAN is saying that he should be, yeah, he should go to the bullpen and so is Luis Gil. Are you kidding me?
No, you this paid guy, him. Luis you paid Severino. Him to be a starter. He was one of the first guys you signed. One
yeah,
year, $13 million.
To get you afloat.
He's a starter.
One of your best starting pitchers. And he's going to be a free agent? You're going to take money away from him?
No, they're not. Mendoza's that's not going to do that. They got a relationship from being with the Yankees. They're not putting him in the bullpen.
Yes, exactly. This is a quickie on the Yankees and Boone, all right? LeMahieu, he gets two hits, and then he gives us six RBIs. He gets benched for the next two games. I just don't understand that. I mean,
he played
a long time.
He played over but, Ben Rice.
But Keith, the guy is trying to get out of the slump. Mentally, he's ready, and he benches him the next game. You don't do that. When the guy gets the game, I guess we don't love you with six RBIs.
I got
to
go back. They played him. They play the matchups, but they've been playing him.
I know it's analytics. You know, that's garbage to me. To me, is if the guy is hitting, forget about lefty, forget about what you
Sunday,
hitting,
in the Blue Jays series, when he walked it off, he got the start that day.
Yeah, but he got the day off the next day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he put him on the bench. You don't do that.
Because it's him and Ben Rice. And Ben Rice being a lefty.
I understand that, yeah, but Ben Rice has been nice. But come on, Ben Rice has been on the slump. Just like almost everybody. Now they're coming out now, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I got. And this was Evans. Evans had a bet with everybody in his show that he's going to find out what fan or host bought the jersey number 13. And I'm surprised at you because he says he tweeted you and you said that you bought the Jazz number 13. Explain that, why you do that when you don't. I mean, the guy is one of the worst, I mean, career hater in the history of the game. Did you look at the back of his baseball card before you went and bought number 13?
Wait, hold on. So, Evan, I missed this because Evan hasn't been on air. Evan said on air.
Well, he says he tweeted you and you're tweeting right back and saying that you went and bought number 13. I get to myself, wait a minute. I know that Jeter says that this guy is one of the greatest players in the future, but he hasn't been doing that. I mean, I said, no way that kid did that. But he said it on the show that you tweeted him back that you went about number 13 because I guess he hit four homers. One was a batting practice, was a position player that gave him a little lollipop.
Listen, I don't remember talking to Evan about the Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Right?
Jersey, but I did go to the store on Friday. I'm going back to the tweet. I said I copped the 1-3 instantly. I did go to the Yankees team store on Friday. The first Friday was August 2nd of that Orioles or the Blue Jays series that got rain delayed. And yeah, I picked up the Jazz Chisholm player tee.
And you told him you bought it because of Jazz or you just bought it because you wanted to buy it? Because that's what he said.
I bought it for Jazz Chisholm being on the team. I like the guy's swag, aura, drip.
Keith, this is a guy that has a .240 batting average, okay? He's still bases either.
I bought it on Friday before he had an at-bat, coming off of him making history with four home runs in his first three games as a Yankee. I was a Jazz fan before he became a Yankee. I love that he took A-Rod's 13.
You're going to see a different player from now on. I just hope you're right, you know? Because we had
but I'm not. Wait, don't get it twisted. Because I purchased his jersey. Lou, I've been saying the pinstripes look heavy on him. That he's pressing. That he's thinking too much. He's changing his chain, his belt, his accents. Like, just go out there and play.
But it doesn't matter. He doesn't deserve number 13, okay? Number 13 was given to Joey Gallo.
What are you talking about? Joey Gallo wore it last. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. But I thought that was a mistake as well. How in the world are you going to give this number 13? To a player that
not
couldn't even be in the team.
It's not retired.
Listen, the guy that I wanted for the Yankees was Luis Arraez, which is available. We needed
He got traded in May.
Huh?
He got traded in May. Thanks for the call, Lou. All right, let me just clear something up. I understand that 13 is retired right above me here in this studio, A-Rod Day, February 16, 2024, Evan and Tiki. If I was given the power to do anything at WFAN, if I was given the power to create anything for Afternoon Drive, I would come up with 1,300 things before I would come up with retiring the number 13. The Yankees will never retire 13 unless Jazz or someone else comes along and is so good to make them do it. They're not retiring it for A-Rod. Joey Gallo wore it last. Somebody has to shake the stench of Joey Gallo, the worst hitter we've seen in recent time that wore 13 out of it. Jazz Chisholm has swag, moxie, drip, aura, whatever you want to call it, and I like that about the guy. He came here in the Boston series with a backwards hat, and people were talking about him wearing his backwards hat, so I started showing up to WFAN with a backwards hat. Like, he's a brother. He's from the Bahamas, but he's dark as night. We needed some more dark-skinned brothers on the Yankees. I'm supporting the brother. I bought his player tee for, I don't even know, $40. And honestly, when I went in there, I didn't buy it right away because I went and I did a bunch of things. I don't know. I was in the Hard Rock. I went and did roll call, whatever. But I got it pretty early in the game. And there were none of them left. There were maybe three larges left. I wear a large. I took a large. And I had to ask the lady, like, where's the player tees right here? She's like, what are you looking for, 13? A bunch of people came in there and bought 13. I went back to the tweet. I do not see anywhere that Evan Roberts tweeted me about it. And also, don't get it twisted. I bought it on the Friday. He was making his debut that day. He did his first step back three answering the roll call that day. Did I know he was going to strike out 15 times since then? No. And am I buying the guy's jersey saying, I'm buying this jersey because he's the next Derek Jeter? No, I bought the jersey because I the only other player tee I realized that I had in recent time was DJ LeMahieu. I wore that in here after DJ had the 6 RBI. And I'm like, I could use a new player tee. And I get a discount at the team store. So let's not get it twisted up. Right now, Jazz is not looking good. Right now, Jazz is striking out at a rate where when you're watching his at-bats, what he's swinging at, and even his demeanor, he looks down. He looked like he was having fun. He was messing with the Philly Fanatic. He was using Judge's bat. He was having a grand old time in the road grays. He gets to the Bronx. He's got to find a place to live for the next couple years. There's a lot of fanfare. The lights are brighter here. This is the main stage. And he hasn't looked the same. 888-808-1019. So I don't know what. I don't hear every hour of WFAN. I don't know if Evan said that on a Rico Bronya. I don't see a reply in the tweet. But me purchasing, bro, what are we talking about? If I actually went through some of the jerseys and player tees that I've thrown out, man, I threw out, like, I had a Randy Johnson 4-1. I could go back. I had a Yan Gervis Solarte 26. Like, I had so many random Yankees and Yankee numbers. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yo, Solarte was the future for about a minute.
I could go back through the years, bro. There were so many random Yankees that popped that I was like, yeah, let me run and get this guy's player tee. That's why I stopped buying jerseys. I didn't have the bread to buy these expensive jerseys. The only jerseys that I own now from the New York Yankees with pinstripes, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, DJ LeMahieu. I would get a Judge. I have the Judge basketball jersey. Other than that, I have a Volpe, which was really a Brett Gardner number 11 road gray. And then I have an authentic road gray Masahiro Tanaka number 19 that I got as soon as they got Tanaka. Because I knew Tanaka time was going to be a thing. I still miss the sun will come out, Tanaka. I still am mad that we didn't get him to a World Series. I'm trying to think what else. I have a bunch of all-star jerseys. But yeah, don't get that. I don't know what that where that came from, Lou.
You know, I stumbled upon a spot tonight. I think it's called Last Out in the stadium. And it's like a, I guess, like the last chance to get these. It's like old jerseys that are now on clearance. So they had a Torres jersey from last year, the old road grays. But they had a bunch of last year's Nike jerseys, which are actually nicer.
With names on the back?
No names, that are $110.
Weird. What section is this by?
Like, it was like hidden in some, like maybe in that nook where there's kind of that food court on the main concourse.
Like the Pepsi spot?
By no, like no, one... no, no. not by Pepsi, but where there's kind of, you know, that like that where it dips in, not towards the field, but away from the field.
You got to tell me sections. I know the sections of the stadium.
I don't remember what section. Well, but
right field or left field?
I'm thinking down the right field line.
So like close to like 108?
Probably
110?
Probably.
Oh,
there.
I know what you're talking about. Yes. That area
the
in there.
The soft serve ice cream's in there.
Yes.
There's a bar in the middle.
They if have you clearance walk back jerseys.
There, they have like clearance jerseys.
They're selling that Glaber 2-5.
Yeah. That's with the name on the back. And
2-5 is a good number to get.
Yeah, but it has the name. That one.
I just asked if they have the name on
no,
the back.
No, so then there's a bunch of them that don't have. They had a Cole from last year, pinstripe Cole, 45. No name for $110.
And with my discount, I get like 15, 20% off or something like that. I might have to check that out. I'm not going to any of these other games, though. I can't go tomorrow, and I can't go over the weekend. I'm tight about it. But I've already hit 20 games this year. I'm trying to get to 40. If we go to postseason, I'll definitely hit 40. All right, we're already about to hit the 1 o'clock break update. So, yeah, Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking about the Mets, and they're not going to put Luis Severino in the bullpen, and Jose Buto has been a weapon out of that bullpen. And you're about to get Reed Garrett back. Dednil Nunez is working his way back. Sean Reed Foley. You've got enough guys in the bullpen. You need to get Severino right. Maybe you need to get him some rest, skip a start. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. But Paul Blackburn has been great. Sean Manaea has emerged. You hope David Peterson can go out there and get the job done. I think he can. And with the Yankees, yeah, JCJ, Jazz Chisholm Jr., he has not made his Yankee Stadium impact the way that he did on the road. I'm not down on the guy, but I can just see it. We've seen this before. The pinstripes are heavy. That's what that's literally a saying I didn't make up that they say. It's harder to play in New York. It's harder to play in Yankee Stadium, but he's got four more games here to make an impact and have his Yankee Stadium moment. He hit a double. I think he's going to come out of it a little bit, but the strikeouts are OD right now. He's striking out at a ridiculous pace. I have not worn my player tee. It's folded up in my closet with the sticker still on it. I don't know when I'm going to wear it. I'm definitely going to wear it in here because the word on the street is 13 is retired. You're not allowed to wear 13 in WFAN studios at all. I'm like, what? Definitely going to wear it in here. As soon as Jazz does something, you can count on it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 1 hour left. Call me up. I'll be right back.